This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and narrator, Mike Luoma. And I've got part one of chapter 18 on the way on this episode. Chapter 18 of Vatican Ambassador. Now, I warned you about this chapter earlier. This is another one of those way too long chapters. This one, once it's read, clocked in at about an hour and a half, a little over, 1:35 really, 1:34:53 if you want to be precise. And I even, as I listened back, read it a little fast in spots too, so it could have been longer. Could have let it breathe some, but so it is, and so it shall be. I'm going to divide it into two and give you two really massive episodes over the holidays. So, if you need to escape, you can escape with BC as we head out to see the Eldred, the eldest of the Eldred. BC has agreed to meet with the Eldred. That's what we're going to be getting into in Chapter 18, Part 1. Anita Capituna and those with the project have told BC the Eldred are the likely candidates behind the plague now killing humanity, and they may have even killed the project's founder, Von Kilner. But the Eldred asked to meet with BC, and he agreed. So we're going to make the trip out to Eldred space and begin the visit with BC in part one of chapter 18 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, I want to let you know that the Smashwords end of year sale is underway. That goes on through the first of the new year, so through 1124. The two big ebook collections, the Vatican Assassin Trilogy under one cover, and the Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus, all under one cover, each of those usually $4.99. They're 50% off during the Smashwords end of year sale, so you can get them through the first of January for just $2.49. Follow the link in the show notes, or just go to smashwords.com and look for Vatican Assassin or Alibi Jones or me, Mike Luoma. I'm also giving away a free PDF comic book this month, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, issue number 3, which features a single short story done in one, Alibi Jones Christmas Present, which also features BC. Alibi actually accidentally goes back in time and meets his father, B.C., in Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. It's in the comic book, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number 3. Features art for Alibi Jones' present with Casey Bouchard, and in the past, for the Vatican Assassin era stuff, it features the team that was on the Vatican Assassin graphic novel, Christian Navarro and Juan Carlos Quatordio. Giving away 15 free PDF copies this month. And that is over at Drive-Thru Comics. But it's link specific, so you need to follow the link that's in the show notes to get yourself a free copy of that PDF comic book, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, issue number 3, with Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. If I could ask you for a Christmas present, it would be to please review any of my books or podcasts. Just drop down some ratings, some stars, or throw down a couple words saying this is great. You don't have to go into high detail. You just need to let people know you like it. Word of mouth is key, so if you can review a book or rate a book or review a podcast or rate a podcast, that would be fantastic. Please and thank you. Speaking of thank yous, I want to say a big thank you to my patrons, those who help directly support Glow in the Dark Radio. You can do that too if you'd like for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. They have three different levels of membership, three different levels of support. I do that through this site called Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. So if you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, you can sign up to become a patron or just get more information there. You can also go to my sites, mikeluoma.com or glowinthedarkradio.com, and get the details there, or follow the link to Patreon to find out more. But once again, a big thank you to you who are patrons. If you're a patron already, you're doing me so much good. Thank you for your help and for helping me through another year. We're almost through it. Well, I've divided chapter 18 into two parts. The first part is the shorter of the two at about 38, 39 minutes. So we'll get into that next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 18, Part 1, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
A week later, BC is aboard a project ship making a transspace jump to the secret asteroid base on his way to a meeting with the Eldred. Travel by Flasher, flying in a mystery ship to meet a mystery race that seems to want us dead. BC goes over the details while he travels. Anita mapped out the itinerary for him. She's also accompanying him on the first leg of his trip. She's the official liaison to the Eldred. She'd hate being called that. I meet an Eldred ship at the project base. From there, we'll travel in the Eldred ship to their nearest home base. Nearest, of course, implying that they have many other home bases. How many homes can you have? Another question for the unanswered file. That's a pretty big file with these clowns. I know I've got plenty of questions for them. I want to meet these other ones, too, the Domo and the Flays. Ask them a few things. But first things first, and my first stop is the planet they call Eldre. Sounds like a home planet. Meet an Elder of the Eldred on Eldre. All sipping Earl Grey. Now I'm getting all silly. BC smiles to himself. He glances over at Anita, still sleeping in her seat. I'm glad to have her with me, at least part of the way. Glad she's on my side this time. I need all the help I can get. Funny that these aliens will deal with her. Strange. Guess that's why they're aliens, huh? Not so strange. They don't want us to reveal their existence to the general public just yet, they told her. Well, we're trying to keep that proverbial cat in the proverbial bag. But here I am, the Pope, just disappearing. Hope no one notices this time. Things are so fucked up back home that it just might be okay. Fucked up actions by a fucked up Pope. Right. Most will assume I'm still on the moon. We're here, Anita says, bolting awake and breaking BC's train of thought. She wakes up fast. Looks good doing it, too. Damn, it would be nice to be able to tell her that. I'm sure it would go over big. Man, she's retreated from me big time ever since that kiss. Fuck this. Work to do, gotta focus on the task at hand. Last time I came here, I was Van Kilner's guest. This time I arrive as the project's new CEO, the Pope, head of the UTZ Council, and envoy to the Eldred. Too many fucking titles. My head would explode, but then I couldn't try to save the entire human race. See that? Out there? Out the viewport on the left? That's the Eldred ship, Anita says excitedly. They're already here. Funny. It's not as alien-looking as I thought it would be. Doesn't look all that different from the project's newer ships. The exterior of the ship is smooth and silver, with a central core section flanked by what look like ship-length engines on both sides. The smooth exterior betrays no hint of markings, nor hatches, nor viewports, if any do exist along its sleek fuselage. BC can't help but stare at it as his own ship lands alongside it in the project base's massive landing bay. "We should get going," Anita says, by way of encouragement and motivation. "Time to go save the human race." "Oh, is that all? No pressure or nothing," BC cracks. He smiles and lets her lead their way off the ship and into the project base. "Here I come. Watch out for me, the most powerful member of the significantly reduced human race. Grr, arg. Why don't I feel any more secure, any more powerful? I feel less impressive, less powerful than I was, like, nothing, I guess. King Nothing. Why is everyone suddenly relying on me? What did I ever do to make folks want to put their faith in me? The more I learn, the more I know, the less important and powerful I feel. It's not supposed to work that way, is it?" "Are you okay, BC?" Anita asks, seeing him spacing out in deep thought as they walk into the base. "Yeah," BC reassures her. "Just preoccupied, I guess. I've got a lot on my mind," he tells her. "I guess you've got it right," she admits. "I can't wait to get your take on the Eldred," she says to BC, changing the subject slightly. "They are not physically intimidating in any way. I think you'll be surprised when you meet them. They're..." She shakes her head, trying to find words to describe them. "They're almost cuddly, BC." She shakes her head again. "Well, you'll see what I mean. It's hard to describe." The next few hours fly by for BC. He meets various members of the project's staff. He receives official greetings. He finds himself in an impromptu ceremony as the base staff gives him their official welcome. Niceties, affirmations, and other pleasantries are exchanged as BC is introduced as the new CEO, and they expect some cursory words from BC tossed in for good measure, so he makes a short speech about saving humankind. By the time he's alone in his stateroom 3 hours later, he realizes he's met around 50 people in various administrative posts around the base. "It's great. I've met all these people and remember none of their names. Funny how genteel it all is as we stand here on the brink of annihilation." The tight schedule set by Anita allows BC about an hour to freshen up and gather his thoughts before he goes to meet the Eldred for the first time. He enters the empty meeting room, a space favored by Von Kilner for its old earth charm, and makes himself comfortable in a large oaken chair at the end of a long wooden table. The room could be a library and any old mansion on Earth. Aside from the conference table and its chairs, books dominate the room. Row upon row, shelf upon shelf of books and solid old wooden bookcases line the walls, giving the air in the room a slightly musty tang. The room is empty, save for him. He is to meet the Eldred alone. "Oh my God!" BC has to stifle a laugh when he sees the Eldred for the first time. He tries hard not to crack a smile as they file into the room and take seats opposite him at the table. "They look like giant powder blue koala bears with big eyes like those old Japanese comic books. They don't look real. They look like big stuffed toys. What, about 5 feet tall? Too cute. How can these creatures be agents of genocide? Fuzzy wuzzy whittle cute agents of genocide."
"Bernard Campion," one of the koalas asks in a purring deep voice in clear unaccented English.
"Yes," BC answers, "I'm Bernard Campion."
"I am Kamex," the Eldred says. "I am here to escort you back to our world, Eldre, to meet with our leaders. Are you ready to depart?"
"Right to the point. Gotta stop thinking of them as koalas."
"I am ready," BC answers. "Do you guarantee my safe return?" "We guarantee nothing," the giant light blue teddy bear informs BC. "Yet, it would not benefit us for you to not return. So please, feel safe."
"Right. I feel really safe right now. Probably feel safer if I knew my way around that ship before we left."
"I have one request before we leave. Might I get a tour of your ship before we depart?" BC asks. "I'd like a tour of my transport."
Kamex of the Eldred stops to think, rubbing a fuzzy blue hand across his chin whiskers. He appears almost a little confused.
"I guess that would be okay," he says, giving BC permission. "Shall we go?"
They leave the meeting room and head down to the landing bay. Anita is waiting by the back of the Eldred ship with BC's luggage. Instead of heading over to her, Kamex leads BC to a door in the side towards the front of the ship.
Anita shoots a "What the?" look at BC. He just shrugs and follows his furry blue host through the door up into the front of the ship. Chemex guides BC on his tour. They travel quickly through the bridge, the cabins, and back through the engine room. BC notes viewports at even intervals, even though they can't be seen from the outside. He's led from the engine room back to a cabin with a bed, a chair, and a desk, all fit to human scale. Anita is waiting there with BC's belongings for the trip. BC shoots her a look, trying to say, "I see what you mean. They look harmless." "Nice room. Looks comfy. Alien, but almost familiar. Comfortable enough. When I saw how short the Eldred were, I had my worries. But everything on the ship is on a big enough scale. Maybe the Eldred used to be taller? Wouldn't it be ironic if their whole beef against us was that we're taller than they are? A whole race with a height complex? Maybe they designed it to make me feel comfortable, put me at ease so they can take advantage? Come to think of it, I kind of feel better than I think I should. Are there any drugs in the ship's atmosphere? I'll have to get tested when I get back."
"I trust your tour was satisfactory," Chemex says as BC takes in the cabin surroundings.
"Yeah, BC says. "I guess it was. You are too kind, Chemex."
"Too kind, The Eldred pauses a moment. "A curious expression, as if one could ever be too kind. You humans are very curious."
Chemex pauses again, as if hearing a signal inaudible to BC and Anita.
"We are ready for departure. Shall we go?"
"Let's get going, why not?" BC says. "I'm ready."
"Ready, yeah. I don't know about that. But here goes, anyway."
Chemex turns to Anita. "Thank you again for your efficiency in scheduling this meeting. We will bring BC back here in approximately one of your weeks."
He turns to BC.
"You will stay in your cabin for the duration of our trip," Chemex says. "Any need you have will be taken care of. You have only to ask. The computer, I guess you'd call it, is, voice activated."
Chemex again appears distracted by unheard voices.
"I must attend," he says to them. "Please enter your cabin. Anita, please disembark. Good day."
With that, Chemex turns and walks away towards the ship's bridge.
"Well," Anita says to BC, "good luck, I guess." She looks confused, but then her eyes clear. She steps up to BC and kisses him on the cheek. She whispers in his ear, "Don't forget, they aren't really big teddy bears." Then she turns and races off down the corridor and out of sight.
"Yep, aliens might be easier to figure out."
BC steps inside the cabin and the door shuts behind him, closing him in. He inspects the closed door but finds that any trace of the door has disappeared in the wall. BC is left alone, sealed in on the alien ship. He feels a small tug of acceleration as the ship leaves the project's base. The trip passes slowly, uneventfully, excruciatingly boring for BC, kept isolated from any real stimulus. The computer can provide food and drink, but nothing in the way of entertainment. He tries to meditate, tries to sleep, tries playing games with himself to pass the time.
"It's like being in a doctor's office waiting room for hours on end, without any outdated zines to look at, and no other people, not even sick ones. Even a sneeze would be a welcome distraction right about now. Achoo!" According to Anita, this leg of the trip should last 3 days. Seems like forever.
The boredom is finally broken by a visit from Chemex.
"We have some time before we reach Eldrei. It has been determined that you need to learn of another alien species, a race you have not encountered. It is important that you know of them, for they were once the rulers of the galaxies. Their name translates as Ancient Enemy," the fuzzy blue alien says to BC.
"The Ancient Enemy? Von Kilner and the Project guys mentioned them, said the Domo and the Flays had mentioned them in passing, but they never heard about them from the Eldred. Now the Eldred are actually bringing them up. Maybe the Ancient Enemy is responsible for this plague after all."
"The Ancient Enemy?" BC acts as if he's never heard of them.
"Yes," Chemex confirms. "They were once the dominant species throughout this part of space, long ago. They never actually reached your Earth during their time of conquest. And if they had, you would not have known it, for your species had not yet developed."
Chemex pauses, and his brow furrows. A moment of confusion floats across his fuzzy face before his usual placid calm returns.
"The time of the Ancient Enemy predates the development of your world."
"I see," BC says. "So if they're gone, and they never reached the solar system, why is it that I need to know so much about them?"
They shaped the universe as we know it. The Domo, the Flays, even we, the Eldred, were shaped and affected by the ancient enemy.
Might as well go for it. So, BC says with a hint of challenge in his voice, are the ancient enemy responsible for the plague that is killing my people? BC presses on. Because that's really why we're here. Why I'm here on this trip. We need to stop this plague. Once again, Kemex appears puzzled and then calm.
Actually, Kemex says, they are. The ancient enemy is responsible for your current sickness, the alien tells BC.
Oh, really? This is new.
The ancient enemy was a violent race, Kemex says, explaining. They left many legacies, all of them evil, colored by their twisted nature. The ancient enemy was capable of great evil. They killed each other as often as they murdered and subjugated other races. They were vicious, primal killers.
It sounds like he's reciting this from memory. Probably something they all learn as school kids or something like that.
They swept through this neighborhood of worlds long before any of the local races were spacefaring themselves, Kemex continues. The ancient enemy would land, take all they wanted, all they needed. They colonized any world they found that suited their species. They enslaved many peoples, many worlds. The history of my own race, the Eldred, is a history that begins in servitude and slavery to the ancient enemy. In our earliest memories, they were our masters. Our history begins with their interstellar civilization at its peak.
They sound like a fun bunch, BC observes. Kemex stares at BC with an unreadable look. He may be an alien, but that look is familiar, like he ate something nasty. Probably doesn't get my sense of humor.
Kemex's calm returns, and he continues. The ancient enemy had no capacity for what you would call compassion, no ability to see beyond self-preservation and self-gratification. They were not, as you called them, fun.
Sorry, it was a figure of speech, BC says in his defense.
They were a race of conquerors, Kemex says. They followed charismatic but violent leaders who assured them of their primacy in the universe. They held the worlds within their grasp in a tight iron fist. Of course, as with anything, the tighter the hold, the more slips through the fingers. The ancient enemy ended up causing other worlds to unite and to band together against them. Our earliest stories and legends tell tales of the heroes of many different races coming together, forcing the ancient enemy off their worlds, world after world. They came together to beat back the ancient enemy.
Were the Domo and the Flays part of the liberation? BC asks.
No, Kemex says curtly.
Wow, could hear that. Doesn't like them much, does he? Thought he was going to spit there for a second. Guess not everyone out here gets along.
They were not among the United Planets that drove the ancient enemy back to their homeworld. They are of a later time. Those who did unite drove the ancient enemy off world after world. Our home planet of Eldred was one of the last planets they left. Our world was almost a second homeworld to the ancient enemy. We lived side by side with them and served them. But ultimately, they were driven even from our world back to their homeworld. On this, the ancient records are quite clear.
You shared your world with this ancient enemy? BC asks Kemex.
We were subjugated and enslaved by them, Kemex explains. We did not share our world with them. In the end, the ancient enemy was completely destroyed. None were left alive. In the end, their homeworld was completely destroyed in a cataclysmic explosion caused by the forces of the United Planets, driven to destroy them entirely.
Kemex grows silent. How long ago was this? BC asks. Kemex doesn't answer. If this all happened so long ago, how do you know so much about them? Seems like a long time to hold a grudge. And how could they be responsible for our plague today?
We swore we would never forget the ancient enemy, Kemex says. Never let another race attain that level of subjugation over us or any other race. Never let any race rise up as the ancient enemy did. Never let any race assume the mantle of the ancient enemy.
There's more to this, feels like. You sound as if you feel responsible. Why should the Eldred be the watchdogs? BC asks Kemex.
We do feel somewhat responsible. We served them. We were their right hand, until we too finally turned on them, Kemex explains.
So, BC says cautiously, you were collaborators? So much for my diplomacy.
Kemex actually looks hurt, offended and hurt. The alien puffs himself up and refutes BC's assertions. The ancient enemy was highly advanced, well beyond where we are even today. technologically speaking. They created us. They created the Eldred to serve them. The Eldred were created by the ancient enemy to serve them, Mr. Campion. We were built to be incapable of violence towards the ancient enemy, incapable of following anything other than our master's will. That is how our race was designed by the ancient enemy. We were not collaborators. We were made to be their servants. But we found a way to turn against them, and when we did, it was the stroke that turned the tide of the war. We helped destroy the ancient enemy, and then we helped rebuild the universe, Kamek says with some pride. We led the way to a new interstellar civilization, the basis of the civilization which still underlies the universe today. We have led the way for longer than you humans have walked upon your Earth. We have kept the peace for quite some time, Kamek says, finishing with some pride in himself and his story. We have kept violence in check for millennia.
So how could this ancient enemy inflict this plague upon us? They were gone a long time ago, BC asks. Kamek turns away from BC and ignores his comment. Instead, the Eldred shouts out,
Come!
And the door to BC's cabin opens. Another Eldred stands in the doorway holding an empty atmosphere suit.
Here, Kamek says. You'll need to wear this suit when we venture out on Eldray.
I didn't know the atmosphere on Eldray wasn't breathable, BC says.
It's more of a precaution, Kamek tells him. Please put it on. We'll be leaving soon. I'll come back to escort you in a few minutes.
Kamek leaves BC alone with the suit.
Way to open your big mouth, BC. Kamek is just an escort. Did you have to go dark on him?
Huh. Is it a him? I just assumed. Don't really know.
So, let's see. Gotta put this thing on.
BC dresses in the atmosphere suit and waits for Kamek to return.
Funny, thought they'd breathe the same air we do.
Damn, can't see too well out of this suit, just a slit for the eyes. Kamek once again appears.
Good, the alien says. You're dressed. Now, please, follow me.
Kamek turns and walks out the cabin door. BC follows his escort through the ship's corridors and out onto the surface of the planet, into the light of Eldray's sun. The ship is on an open landing area, paved with a hard gray surface. BC notices it gives a little as he steps on it, adding some spring to his step. Once planetside, Kamek stops in his tracks. The alien captain turns to BC.
Our leader wishes to speak to you of many things, Kamek says, and there is more he would like you to learn as well.
Oh, really?
Thank you,
Kamek says and turns away. When BC starts to follow him again, Kamek holds up a fuzzy blue hand and stops him.
Another will escort you to our leader.
Okay, BC says. You're not going to be there to translate? Kamek looks at him, confused.
Our leader has learned your language, the alien says to BC.
He almost sounded offended, huh?
BC tries to make out as much as he can see of the landing area. Besides the retreating back of Kamek, there aren't a lot of other Eldred around.
Looks like any landing area, big, empty, and flat. Some hills in the distance. The atmosphere looks clear enough. Can't see any weird gases floating around. Wonder what I can't breathe. Huh, that must be the city over there. And here comes my escort, I do believe.
A small floating passenger vehicle, sleek and silver like the ship he rode in on, pulls up in front of BC. A door appears in the side, and a new voice, similar to Kamek's, echoes in his ears from a speaker inside of his suit.
Bernard Campion, please step inside the transport vehicle.
BC gets in. The space is small but not cramped. Again, it's comfortable enough for BC. The transport lifts off and begins moving. He can see outside through the windows on either side of him. He watches the terrain zip by as they cross the landing fields. They begin approaching more populated areas. BC gets quick glimpses of Eldred at work and play. He sees what seems to be a farm, sees what appears to be an Eldred farmer out walking in his fields. He sees what looks like a school, with a large group of smaller Eldred outside being led in a line by an adult Eldred. The small ones all turn to watch as BC's transport whooshes by. The vehicle slows as they come to the edge of the city. The transport begins to pass among larger structures, boxy silver buildings with few external details, the buildings he could see from afar from the landing area. Unlike the landing field, the city seems densely populated. Many Eldred watch the vehicle as it floats past, as if trying to catch a glimpse of their visitor. Other floating transports zip by from all directions, artfully avoiding each other and BC's transport.
We will ride you to a place where you will be staying for your visit, the voice says over the suit speakers.
My hotel? BC asks. There is a moment of silence. Then the voice returns.
Yes, in a way, your accommodations. A place to stay.
You will meet with our leader at another location.
I see,
BC says. He rides on in silence as the floating transport winds through the city of the Eldred. He notices more Eldred watching the transport, pointing at it. They know I'm in here? He asks out loud, hoping for an answer. Again, there is a moment of silence before the voice answers.
They know our leader has a visitor arriving. This is his transport, the speaker voice explains. We do not get many visitors here. Your arrival is noteworthy to many. They stare because they are wondering about you.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder about me too. These Eldred are keeping me on a very tight leash so far. Better not start to chafe.
We are arriving at your accommodations, the voice tells BC as the transport perceptibly slows. The floating transport lands in front of one of the larger, nondescript boxes that seem to serve the Eldred as buildings.
They all kind of look the same, big or small, the same silver box shape, repeated over and over, square and utilitarian.
Crowds of Eldred hover nearby, off at a respectful distance, watching his arrival. The transport door rematerializes and opens. Four Eldred line up in a row to await BC outside the vehicle. He gets out of the transport and faces them with his hand extended.
Hello, I'm Bernard Campion. Nice to meet you, he says.
I wonder if they can even hear me through this suit.
None of the four reacts immediately. BC lowers his outstretched hand. Then one of the four speaks.
We are merely escorts, Bernard Campion. Please, follow me, says the Eldred on the right. He turns and the Eldred next to him turns with him in unison. They begin to walk ahead towards the building, where a door has opened. The other two Eldred remain where they are. BC stays put.
Please, the first Eldred says, stopping to call back to BC. Follow me.
Guess I'd better.
BC follows the first two, and the second two fall in behind him.
Consider me escorted.
BC enters through the building's apparent front door.
Everything seems so orderly. All right angles, evenly spaced. How hard line for the soft and fuzzy killer koala people.
They walk inside and head down a short hallway, and then through another door, back outside again into a small courtyard fenced in on all sides by silver buildings. They cross the courtyard and enter another open door opposite the one through which they came into the courtyard. They walk down another short hallway. His escort stops next to an open door on the right-hand side of the hall.
Your accommodations, Bernard Campion, the vocal Eldred tells him, indicating the open doorway with a nod of his head. Please enter and be comfortable. The atmosphere in your room will be suited to you. You can remove the outer garment after your room door closes and reseals.
Thank you, BC says, but then he stops.
Are you going in? The Eldred asks him.
You first, please, BC asks.
Me first? Why?
The Eldred asks, puzzled.
Why do you want me to enter your room?
It's a human habit, thing. Will you humor me and honor my customs? BC lies.
The Eldred stops and considers.
It almost looks like he's listening to something I can't hear. Maybe the Eldred have some sort of implanted comm device. I'm just looking to avoid any obvious booby traps.
Yes, I will go in, the vocal Eldred finally says.
He enters the room and the lights come on. BC waits outside.
Anything?
Are you coming in now? The Eldred asks him.
Sure, BC says, and walks into the room.
Actually, it does kind of look like a hotel room, except it lacks the bad paintings.
The walls of the room are bare. There is a single bed, human-sized. A table and chair are next to it. Across the room sits an entertainment unit, apparently imported from Earth for his amusement.
Could have used that on the trip.
Guess I'll be able to keep myself entertained.
May I leave now? The Eldred in the room asks BC.
Certainly, BC says. Thank you for your escort. The Eldred turns and quickly leaves the room. The door seals shut behind him. BC is left alone in his temporary home.
Let's see. Ground floor in the back. Place looks to be about 5 stories high. Courtyard. I may be stuck in this room because of the atmosphere here. Let's see about getting this thing off of me.
BC opens the seals on the suit's helmet.
No alarms, that's good. No weird odors.
BC takes off the helmet and takes a deeper breath.
Huh, it actually smells kind of pleasant. Almost floral, like lilacs or something. Not obnoxiously strong, but it's there.
He removes the rest of the suit. He checks his hands, his arms.
No weird rashes or reactions, good. Still no trouble breathing. So far, so good.
BC looks around for a comm unit. Seeing no comm unit, he speaks out loud. Does this room have a communicator of some kind? BC asks.
Yes,
a voice much like Kamex's says back.
What do you require?
What am I dealing with here? Let's find out.
Are you flesh or a machine? BC asks. What is this question you ask? The voice replies. Are you a computer, or are you an Eldred? BC tries to clarify. I am not a computer. I am not an Eldred. I am not a machine. I am your room, the voice says.
How so? BC presses.
I am intelligent circuitry. Artificial intelligence equipped to serve your needs. I have been modified to interact with your human species.
I see. So you're circuitry. What should I call you?
You should call me Room, the voice says. I am your room.
What do you do?
You ask, I provide, the room says. Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you bored? I am here to meet your needs.
Long-winded for circuitry, BC mumbles under his breath.
Do you insult me? You do not need to make this difficult, the room says.
I didn't know rooms could be insulted, BC replies.
I have been built with a personality module to allow me to interact with you more effectively, the room informs him.
Here's a thought.
Could you sound more feminine? Higher-pitched voice, maybe, BC tries.
The voice responds.
Is this better?
In a lighter, airier, sexier voice.
Is this how you like it?
BC nearly blushes. Now that just sounds wrong.
That's better, BC answers. But could you sound more, I don't know, business-like?
Is this better?
The room says pertly, less breathily.
Good, BC says. That sounds better, he tells the room.
So, the room asks, what do you need?
Something to eat would be nice, BC tells the room. I don't suppose you have any steak.
Let me see, the room says, and pauses. Steak? The sliced, cooked flesh of your cows? No, not available as such. We can present you with a reasonable facsimile of this steak if you'd like, but it will be only an approximation.
I think I'll pass, BC says.
That seems wise, the room says. I can find you something we have approximated more precisely. Would you care for beef bourguignon?
Wait, BC says. You can't do steak, but you can do beef bourguignon?
It has something to do with the way it is made, the room says. I will have that for you in just a few minutes. Now I have a question for you, Bernard Campion.
What is it, room? BC asks.
How shall I address you? Is it Bernard Campion your preferred address? The room asks.
Call me BC, BC says to the room.
You will be addressed as BC, then. One beef bourguignon on the way, BC.
What, not immediately? BC chides the room.
No, BC. I do not materialize your meal. It will be fabricated elsewhere and brought here. The orders have been given, the room says.
Thank you, room, BC says.
The meal is delivered through some means unseen to BC, arriving behind a sliding door in the wall over the table next to the bed.
BC chows down on it hungrily.
This is actually better tasting than the stuff they serve on some of the orbital stations I've been on. Almost tastes like the real thing.
BC, the room asks as he finishes his meal.
Yes, room? I have a message for you. It is near the night cycle now. Our leader asks that you eat and rest. Our leader will meet with you as the next light cycle begins, in approximately 12 of your Earth hours. Our leader instructs me to offer you anything you might want or need.
Thanks, room.
So that's the plan, then. Meet the leader in the morning.
Is that acceptable to you, then, BC? The room asks.
I guess so.
I can ask them to change it if you would like. You are our guest.
Thanks, room, but no, that isn't necessary. No hurry. I'll just fire up the entertainment unit.
That unit does not require fire to operate, the room says, sounding alarmed. In fact, the use of open flame with said unit is not recommended,
the room cautions.
That was just a human expression, room. I'm going to turn it on and watch it.
Is it loaded up with programming?
Yes, it possesses over 1 million programming options for you to choose from, the room says with a hint of excitement.
1 million, BC shakes his head. That's a lot of choices.
The entertainment unit has been augmented by the Eldred to hold more of your programming. It's well above such a unit's usual capacity.
Great, BC says. So, let's see what's on.
BC begins looking through his choices as he settles in to watch, rest, and wait for the Eldred leader. He drifts off, watching a vid. As he starts to sleep, a familiar throbbing begins behind his temples.
Oh no, not here! Not now! Not here, no!
BC winces in pain. He curls up into a fetal ball on the bed. The pain is more intense, more insistent, more pounding, pounding, pounding on his brain.
Suddenly, everything shrinks down to a pinpoint. BC feels still, calm. His world begins to open up and expand. The walls fall away.
What? Where? Where am I?
In the center, in touch with the all that is one.
Oh, sure I am.
BC walks across an infinite ocean, a still calm sea. The other voice echoes in from nowhere and everywhere, not heard by ears, but heard all the same.
You are close now, so close. New energy, fresh energy, yet different. Mind unaware, unawake. Awake, awaken, loosed from the confines of centuries' slumber, reaching out.
BC is suddenly hit by another wave of pounding, crashing pain in his skull. He cannot tell if his eyes are opened or closed. All he sees is red. He feels the bed beneath him again. His head slowly stops exploding, and he drifts off into a dreamless sleep. Despite the headache and the bizarre dream, BC wakes up refreshed the next morning. I think it's morning. I'm not quite sure what the day-night cycle is on this planet. Seems pretty close to Earth by what the room was saying last night.
Room? BC calls out.
Yes, BC. When is my appointment with the leader? He asks. Whenever you are ready to go see him, BC, the room informs him.
Okay.
Should I eat before I go? BC asks. I cannot answer that question, BC, the room tells him. There is food for you, a planned meal at the leader's later today, but it is a few hours until that occasion. They are not as well prepared to attend to your needs as we are here.
Is that pride I hear in your voice, room? BC asks.
Simple statement of fact, BC. This room was designed to take care of you. The leader's home is not.
So I'll need to put the suit on again then, won't I? BC says.
Absolutely, BC. But they will have a room ready for you at the leader's, so you will not have to continue to wear the environment suit the whole time you were there, the room informs him.
I see. Thank you, room. Is there a refresher attached to this room?
There is a full water shower closet here, the room says, and a door opens in the wall opposite the table.
Great, BC says. Then I should be ready to go in about an hour. I'm going to hop in the shower. Room, could you get me some breakfast, something normal and human?
Are pancakes agreeable?
Sure, BC agrees. I'll eat when I get done with the shower after I get dressed.
BC luxuriates in the hot, steamy, real water shower. I wonder if it is a luxury here. Water might be plentiful. Either that or I'm getting the royal treatment.
He gets out, grabs a towel to dry himself. He notices the mirror and the window of the room have fogged over. He wipes them off, but they fog back up immediately.
Damn, no fan.
Without thinking, BC cracks open the window. Steam rushes out and cool air flows in.
Fuck, what am I doing?
BC slams the window back down.
Stupid, BC. That's directly outside. Could poison my...
Wait a minute. All I smell is cool, clean air.
Could be an odorless, colorless toxin, I suppose. No way to analyze it, though. Let's see if I fall over.
BC realizes he's been holding his breath.
Heh. Well, let's go.
BC sucks in a diaphragm-expanding lung load of air and closes his eyes. He exhales, breathes deep again.
Okay, so far so good.
BC looks at the window.
The window didn't seem to be especially sealed. I just opened it with a normal push.
Frozen by indecision, BC stands staring at the window for a full minute, maybe two. He finally caves into his curiosity and opens the window again. He puts his face right up to it and takes a deep breath of the outside air. He waits.
1 minute? 2 minutes?
BC, wearing only a towel, stands leaning over at the window, breathing in the air for a full 5 minutes.
5 minutes! And nothing!
BC, you shouldn't be doing this! The window is open! The room finally cautions him. BC straightens up from the windowsill.
Oh, really? The shower room steamed up, BC says innocently. I was told you were not to be exposed to the outside environment, the room tells BC.
Room, are there any special filters in place on the air systems that lead into this room? BC quizzes the room.
I really cannot answer any questions along that line of inquiry, the room says, voice stiff, formal, and mechanical.
I just bet you can't. Can't have the babysitter giving away any secrets now, can we?
You are running short of time. Your transport will soon be here to take you to the leader's residence, the room informs him.
You're trained to change the subject, huh? BC quips. Pretty advanced AI.
Thank you, the room says. Please close the window.
BC complies with the room's request. He finds his clothes and dresses for his meeting with the Eldred leader, deep in thought.
The air outside is fine, unless there's something in it that's harmful low-level and long-term. But then why worry about a quick visit? They seemed fine in our air back at the base. If there was a strange compound or substance in their air, wouldn't they be likely to need to breathe it on some level? Maybe they think this will help keep me under control, limit my mobility, keep me boxed up in my room.
You should get into your atmosphere suit now, BC. The transport is arriving at the front door. Your escort will soon be here, the room informs him.
Right, thanks, BC says. I don't like being kept boxed up in a room. I won't put up with being kept in a large closet. Not again. BC suits up, but leaves his suit's helmet just slightly unsealed.
Okay, let's see what gives. Hope it's not my lungs.
They are outside the door, the room says. If you are ready, I will open the door. Go ahead, BC says. His Eldred escort stands outside, including the tallest Eldred BC has yet seen, nearly his own height.
Bernard Campion, we are here to take you to the eldest of the Eldred, the tall one says.
Great, thank you, BC says.
Follow me to the transport, the tall one says.
He turns and walks away, not looking back. BC has to scramble a little to keep up. Two more Eldred escorts fall in behind BC as he walks behind the tall one. They go back through the courtyard and out the front door to the street to a waiting silver transport.
Please get in,
the tall one says to BC, stepping to the side. BC complies with his request.
This transport is roomier inside than the last one.
The tall Eldred gets into the transport and sits down beside him.
The trip will not be long,
the Eldred tells him as the transport door seals and disappears. That was part one of chapter 18 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC is on the Eldred's planet, and he's very suspicious. What's the deal with the air? Does he really need an atmosphere suit? He's about to find out. And he's about to meet the leader of the Eldred, the eldest of the Eldred. And he will in part two of chapter 18 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder on the book news this week. Smashwords end of the year sale is going on. You can get Vatican Assassin, the entire Vatican Assassin trilogy, under one cover as an ebook for just $249. You can get the chronological omnibus, the Alibi Jones chronological omnibus, also for just $2.49, 50% off through the first of the new year, through January 1st, at smashwords.com. There's a link in the show notes. Or just go to smashwords.com and look for Vatican Assassin, Alibi Jones, or me, Mike Luoma. There's also a free PDF comic book available. If you would like to get a copy of The Adventures of Alibi Jones, issue number 3, and check out the done-in-one short story with BC, Alibi Jones Christmas Present. Again, that's something you want to follow the link for in the show notes to go to Drive-Thru Comics and get the free PDF comic book. Thank you again to my patrons. Thank you to you, if you are a patron, for helping keep the show going. And if you want to find out more about that, you can do so at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and follow the link to Patreon. And please leave a review if you have a chance. Let people know you like what you're hearing or reading. It all helps. And for those of you who have already done so, thank you very much. That is all for this week. We will get into a huge chunk of chapter 18. We'll get into chapter 18 part 2 on our next episode. I'm your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.